Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to 9R Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Leadership and Self-Deception, 4th edition by the Arbinger Institute, is a practical leadership parable that explores why capable people and organizations often struggle with relationships, accountability, and performance even when their strategies look sound. The book centers on a simple but challenging idea. Many workplace and personal conflicts persist because people unknowingly deceive themselves about their motives and the impact of their behavior. Through a story-based format set in a company trying to reverse declining results, the authors illustrate how leaders can become trapped in patterns of blame, justification, and control. This mindset limits collaboration and makes others feel like obstacles rather than people. The 4th edition reframes these lessons for modern teams, emphasizing how self-awareness and responsibility can improve culture, customer outcomes, and execution. Rather than offering a list of tactics, it focuses on the inner shift that makes techniques actually work. Readers are guided to recognize self-deception in real time and replace it with a more humane, results-oriented way of leading. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, self-deception as the hidden barrier to leadership. The book argues that many leadership problems are not primarily caused by lack of skill or effort, but by self-deception, a mental habit where people misread their own intentions and rewrite reality to feel justified. In the story, this shows up as leaders who believe they are being reasonable while others experience them as dismissive, demanding, or unsafe. The key insight is that self-deception is self-reinforcing. Once someone starts defending their own view, they begin collecting evidence that they are right and others are wrong. This makes feedback feel like an attack and turns simple issues into identity battles. The book frames this as an inward versus outward orientation. When inward, people focus on protecting themselves, proving their worth, and controlling outcomes. That posture shapes tone, attention, and decisions, even when words sound polite. The practical value of the idea is diagnostic. It helps explain why good intentions still produce friction and why training in communication or conflict resolution sometimes fails. Without addressing self-deception, leaders tend to apply tools as weapons or shields, and relationships suffer. Recognizing self-deception becomes the starting point for change because it targets the source of repeated breakdowns. Secondly, seeing people as people, not objects to manage, a central theme is the difference between treating others as people with needs, goals, and constraints, versus treating them as objects that either help or hinder your agenda. The book suggests that when leaders are self-deceived, they naturally objectify others. Some become obstacles, others become vehicles for validation, and some become irrelevancies. This objectifying mindset quietly reshapes behavior. Leaders interrupt more, listen less, assume bad motives, and frame conversations around compliance rather than partnership. The story highlights how this attitude spreads through teams. When individuals feel objectified, they respond defensively, withhold information, or do only what is required. That reaction then becomes further proof, in the leader's mind, that people are lazy or untrustworthy. The book proposes an outward mindset as the alternative, staying alert to how your choices affect others, and taking responsibility for the impact, not merely the intent. This does not mean being soft or avoiding hard conversations. It means engaging others as contributors and collaborators, which improves trust and speed. By shifting from managing people to working with people, leaders can reduce friction, improve cross-functional coordination, and create conditions where performance expectations are more likely to be met. Thirdly, the box, how blame and justification trap organizations. The book uses the metaphor of being in the box to describe a psychological state where a person feels compelled to justify themselves and blame others. Inside the box, leaders interpret events through a lens of self-protection. Mistakes become threats, disagreements become disrespect, and requests become burdens imposed by unreasonable people. This framing produces predictable patterns, micromanagement, passive aggression, avoidance, and escalation. In the narrative, leaders inside the box focus on proving that others are the problem, which blocks learning and creates a culture where people hide issues instead of surfacing them early. The metaphor is useful because it shifts attention from the content of the argument to the condition of the people having it. The book suggests that two people can debate the same issue, but the one who is in the box will transmit blame and contempt, even subtly, and that emotional signal shapes the outcome. The box also distorts measurement and accountability. Leaders may demand metrics, but use them to punish rather than improve, which encourages gaming and fear. By identifying the box, readers gain a way to spot when they are entering cycles of defensiveness and to interrupt those cycles before they harden into norms. Fourthly, getting out of the box, responsibility and the outward shift. The practical turning point in the book is learning how to get out of the box, which means replacing justification with responsibility. The shift is internal first. Rather than trying to change others, the leader examines how they may be contributing to the problem through assumptions, resentment, or avoidance. The book emphasizes that this is not about self-blame or excessive niceness. It is about accuracy, seeing the full reality of a situation, including how your behavior and mindset are affecting it. The outward shift leads to different actions. Leaders ask better questions, clarify needs, and work to understand constraints. They hold standards while also helping others succeed against those standards. The story shows that this orientation changes the emotional climate of conversations. People become more willing to share bad news, propose solutions, and accept accountability because they feel respected. The book also highlights that getting out of the box is not a one-time achievement. It is a repeated choice, especially under stress, fatigue, or high stakes. Readers are encouraged to notice early signals of slipping back in, such as feeling morally superior or chronically irritated, and to reorient toward others as people in that moment. Lastly, applying the mindset shift to results, culture, and relationships. While the book focuses on mindset, it connects the inward versus outward orientation to tangible results. In organizations, many performance issues are cross-boundary problems. Sales, operations, service, product, and leadership must coordinate. When teams are in the box, they protect their territory, blame other departments, and optimize for local wins. That creates rework, delays, and customer pain. The book's approach suggests that an outward mindset improves execution by changing how people define success. Instead of winning arguments or avoiding fault, they aim to meet real needs, anticipate downstream effects, and coordinate commitments. This shift strengthens culture because it reduces politics and increases psychological safety without lowering expectations. In personal relationships, the same ideas apply. Self-deception fuels contempt and keeps people stuck in stories about how the other person is the issue. An outward orientation invites empathy, clearer requests, and a willingness to contribute to repair. The narrative framework makes these points concrete, showing how leaders can influence entire systems by changing how they show up in everyday interactions. The takeaway is that strategies and processes matter, but they work best when powered by relationships built on respect. Mindset becomes a force multiplier for coaching, feedback, accountability, and customer focus. In conclusion, this book is best suited for managers, executives, team leads, HR and organizational development professionals, and anyone who senses that recurring conflicts are limiting their effectiveness. It is also valuable for individuals who want healthier partnerships at home, since the same patterns of justification and blame appear in families and friendships. The benefit comes from its core reframing. Instead of searching for better tactics to manage other people, it helps readers notice the internal posture that shapes every conversation. That shift can reduce defensiveness, increase trust, and improve collaboration, which in turn supports better results. Readers often struggle not because they lack standards, but because their standards are delivered from a mindset that makes others feel like objects. By learning to recognize self-deception and choose an outward orientation, leaders can hold people accountable while strengthening commitment and ownership. Compared to similar leadership books focused on habits, scripts, or influence techniques, this one goes deeper into the psychological source that determines whether tools land as supportive or manipulative. The parable format also makes complex dynamics easy to remember and apply. It is worth buying for readers who want a simple, repeatable lens for transforming relationships and sustaining performance under pressure. If you would like to support the Arbinger Institute, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.